Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SG Mart Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar Saumya from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to Mr. Saumya.
Thank you, Neerav. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the 4Q and FY26 post-result conference call of SG Mart. From the management, we have with us Mr. Amit Thakur, Director B2B Metal Trading, Mr. Suraj Kumar, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Naman Rastogi, General Manager Strategy, Mr. Archit Arora, Vice President Service Center and Distribution Business, Mrs. Anamika Gulati, Senior General Manager Renewable Business, and Mr. Anubhav Gupta, Group Chief Strategy Officer. I'll now hand over the call to management for an opening remark, post which we'll open the floor for a Q&A. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Kumar, and thanks to Ambit for hosting SG Mart for its quarter four FY26 earnings call. Good evening, everyone. I welcome all of you on our earnings call. Despite a very challenging 9 months for SG Mart, we closed the financial year with very solid performance, with quarter four being the best quarter in terms of revenue, upwards of 1,800 crores, and EBITDA of 56 crore rupees. This performance comes in the backdrop of very challenging month of March because of the onset of Middle East crisis, and despite that, we could pull off these numbers. So if you look at the full year performance, with EBITDA growth of 35% to 137 crore for FY26, with 15% ROC on reported numbers, and if we annualize quarter four performance, then ROC will be around 25%, which is the true reflection of our business model. We brought down the working capital days to 20 with inventory and debtor rationalization. This resulted in operating cash flow generation of 300 crores for the full year, which funded the large CapEx upward of 250 crores, and there was small free cash flow generation as well on full year basis. And we closed our balance sheet with net cash of 750 crore rupees. Now, the reason for this performance was that SG Mart has now four running verticals, which have completely streamlined, and we are ramping up these verticals pretty well. Obviously, there will be short-term challenges coming in because of Middle East crisis, but the quarterly performance should be better than the previous quarters as new businesses, new verticals keep on ramping up. So vertical number one is B2B sales, which saw, if you look at the quarter four results, the B2B volume is lower than quarter three because of shortage of steel supply, which got triggered in month of January, and then by the time war started, it further aggravated, and the situation remains slow in terms of B2B business. But because it doesn't contribute too much to our earnings, it's not hurting overall performance too much. Service centers, if you see, our volume was 190,000 tons for the quarter four versus 163,000 tons. So this 10% increase, more than 10% increase, is because of the addition of new service centers, and we continue to invest heavily in new service centers, which will keep on pushing the volumes upward and higher. Our renewable structures saw a slight dip in the volume, the reason being because we have to buy specialized coated steel, which was in shortage due to gas issues from the steel mills. So that's why the volume was a bit lower. At the same time, in the quarter four, we started selling new profiles, which we have talked about, multiple products being used for construction, warehousing, multiple applications. So we started that business and did volume of around 7,000 tons with good margins as it is being sold in APL Apollo brand and in the group distribution network. So all put together, these four verticals produced around 50 crore of business EBITDA, and 6 crore was inventory gain for the quarter because there was steel price upward movement throughout the quarter. So the total reported EBITDA was 56 crores, out of which business EBITDA was 50 and 6 crore is the inventory gain. Now, why this 50 crore business EBITDA is important? Because I mean, throughout the FY26 financial year, we were hoping that we will touch this 50 crore business EBITDA, maybe in second, third quarter, but obviously because of multiple reasons, we couldn't achieve that. So finally, we did that in quarter four. And whatever business ramp-up is taking place, we are confident that 50 crore quarter four EBITDA, I mean, it will keep on rising throughout FY27 despite the challenges which we are facing in our B2B business due to short supply of steel. And obviously, service centers in India are running pretty well, except that in Dubai, which contributes around 10% of the volume, that operations are a bit disrupted. But whenever the war stops, Dubai Service Center will also start contributing significantly. I mean, as of now, it becomes very difficult to give any guidance on a monthly or quarterly basis. But in our last earnings call, we did guide for 300 to 350 crore of annualized EBITDA for FY27. We are confident that we should be near to that number, unless there is like more loss of business due to war in our B2B business or in our Middle East operations. But the India business, the renewable structures and the steel profile business, these three verticals are operationalized and throwing a good profitability, volume ramp up, and a good return profile as well. So with this, I'll be happy to take questions. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vakaria. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just two line items. Can you explain your interest cost and other income? Both have a sort of decline in this quarter versus Q3. Can you explain that?
So, see, I mean, the interest cost is declining because of the working capital rationalization. We closed the year with 20 days of working capital cycle. So our overall capital employed in the business reduced significantly for the towards the end of the year, and this resulted in surplus cash being on the books and lower interest cost.
Okay. How much of this trade payables is the acceptances?
Zero. They're all non-acceptance payments.
Okay. Okay. But in case we have generated more cash than why is our other income has also declined?
Because like the operating cash flow generation was around 300 crores. At the same time, we did capex of 250 crore rupees.
Okay.
So it, net cash generation was like very minimal.
Okay. So because our cash balance has actually also increased, I think, versus quarter three, it's increased, I think, almost 100 crores. So I was just wondering, I mean, what led to then the decline in the income?
Quarter net cash was around 740 crores and quarter four is 750 crores, only 10 crore increase.
Okay. And this, this capex which you have done, which particular area which we have done the capex, and for FY27, what is the capex plans and which area which we are planning to do the capex?
So if you look at in FY26 full year, we did around 525 crore rupees of capex. Okay, this includes capital work in progress and advances to suppliers and contractors. Right. In 9 months, this figure was 400 crore rupees. So in quarter four, we did around 125 crore additional. Now capex, multiple capex, most of the capex went towards service centers. Okay. And acquisition of new land parcels, because now that this business has is running very smooth. So we have become aggressive like we were before, to acquire new land parcels and set up new service centers. Going forward, I think we already have taken approval of around 600 crores of capex for 2 years. So this is what we will be incurring capex over the next 2 years.
Okay. So for FY27 and 28, you're planning to do 600.
That's minimum. If we need to add more lines for renewable structures and profile structures, then it could increase.
Okay. And this 600 is distributed in service center and can you just break up? Yeah. So just can you just break up? Yeah.
To break up, see, we must acquire at least 4 or 5 new land parcels. Okay. Incrementally. We must do capex to set up new service centers of 3 to 4 numbers. Okay, then setting up profile machines, right? So you can assume like 1/3 will go for building of service centers, half could be for acquisition of new land parcels, and balance 15%, 20% would be for profile machines.
Okay. Okay. This last question, this is on the ESOP plan, which you sort of announced. So what is the price at which the ESOP will be granted? It's not very clear from the, the announcement which we have, since it's under discount.
So this ESOP price was locked 1.5 years ago, okay, and that point of time the current price, which was around 367 rupees, this is what will be the exercise price.
Okay. So this is for the ESOP approval which you are sort of planning to take from the in the AGM. This is for the future ESOP plans.
So this approval is for the balance ESOPs, okay, which were not utilized, and if we have to give those ESOPs to new employee, then we can use from the previous pool. It's not to issue any new ESOPs.
Okay. And on this also, the strike price is exercise price is the 367 rupees.
Yeah, it will remain same, no, because the pool is like previous one only.
Okay. Because in the announcement, it has been mentioned that it will be at a discount to market price, but it is not clearly specified at what price, actually.
Yeah, so it is 367, which we had taken approval for the last ESOP plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vishal Mehta from Oaklane Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead. Hello?
Vishal, go ahead. You're audible.
Yeah, just wanted to check that in your opening remarks, you mentioned that the 15-odd% quarter-on-quarter volume growth in the service center business has come from increment in service centers. The presentation shows that we still have seven service centers. So is there something we're missing?
So Vishal, I meant that volume from new service centers came up, basically.
Got it. Got it. And for 20, so basically what you're saying is that the new service centers which we have opened, all of them have given better volumes.
That's right.
Okay. And also, if you could just give some clarity on what is your expectation for the profile business and the renewable business for FY 2027 and 2028? I mean, in terms of volume, how do you see that panning out?
Sure. So Vishal, see, I mean, if you look at our quarter four, we did around 5,000 ton monthly average in renewable structures. Okay. Full year, it gives around 60,000 tons of the run rate. For as of now, there is a shortage of coated steel in the industry because of gas issues, okay, which we believe will improve in next one to two months. So we will come to 8,000-9,000 ton of monthly volume. Okay. So we may remain at 5,000-6,000 ton for two months, and then it will ramp up to 8,000-9,000, say, for seven-eight months. So put together, we should be around 130,000-150,000 ton for the full year, okay, in terms of renewable structures. As far as the other profile structures, that business is ramping up pretty well. In Q4, the number looks very small, which is like 7,000 tons. But April month has gone pretty good, which is like 5,000-6,000 ton run rate we have already achieved. And more and more products and machines are getting started in next one to two months. So this also, with 5,000-6,000 ton of monthly volume for next two, three months, this will ramp up to 8,000-10,000 ton for, say, eight-nine months for the full year. So here also, we can expect like 100,000 ton plus annual volume, Vishal.
Got it. And that 15% CapEx which you mentioned about profiles, that includes RE business or this is for profiles?
Yeah, joint. For RE business, we have sufficient capacity as of now. Okay. We can do volume of 150,000 ton for the full year. So it will be mainly for profiles, additional profiles.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue and all the best for the future.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Porwal from Perpetual Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, Anubhav. My first question is on, so the subsidiary revenue more or less sequentially is flat at around 230-240-odd crores. But the profitability has taken a big hit despite prices moving up for steel. So any color on this?
For which business?
For the Dubai operation.
So Dubai.
Profitability has. Yes, go ahead.
So see, I mean, Dubai, I mean, in month of March, there was hardly any business, okay, because of what happened there. So that fixed cost, etc., led to profitability hit. But things are becoming better. Okay. Teams have started traveling there. Okay, so you will see this getting recovered in a month or so.
Oh, I meant about the gross margin. If I just look at the consolidated minus standalone, the gross margin has come down significantly. That I understand the volume drop because of the conflict in Middle East.
Okay, we'll revert to this later. My team is working on it. Maybe in 10-15 minutes, we'll answer this question.
Okay. Next is on, are you investing further for capacity at the Dubai center as well? Because the net block, again, the difference between console and standalone has moved up.
Well, no, there is no, I mean, there would be some new machinery which would have come, like cut-to-length machinery in Dubai service center. Suraj, how much increase is there in net block from December to March in Dubai?
In Dubai?
So I think it's how much increase you are looking? 5-10 crore rupees, right?
No, it's a bigger number. If I take a look at the year-end standalone and consolidated net block, the difference is 108 crores.
No, I think there could be. We are checking on this. I will revert during this call.
Okay. So next is on the capacity for the current service centers, so the 7 that you have operational. The annualized utilization is already above 90%. So will you need more capacity at the existing centers going forward?
So we are going to add 3 more during this year. Three as in like the exit service center, number of service centers should be around 11 to 12 for FY 2027.
Okay. Within the existing 7 centers, would there be further capacity addition?
So we are going to add new products here. Right now we are selling HR-related products. We will also start selling coated products through these service centers.
Okay.
Which are more value-added products and carry better margin.
Okay. So this would be in the profiling business?
No, in service center business.
Okay. Is it possible to provide a split of volumes between India and Dubai?
Yeah, for quarter four, right?
Yes.
So in service center, we did around 191,000 tons, right, for the full quarter from service center. Dubai was 37,000 tons.
10,000. Okay. And one last question from me is, so you're also setting up capacity for PUF panels. And in presentation, you mentioned the market to be at around 150,000 tons. And you're not setting up capacity for 80,000 tons. So that's literally almost more than half of the market. So what gives you the confidence for this?
For renewable, right?
For PUF panel.
The PUF panels, it's a highly fragmented industry as of now. And as more and more, what we are seeing trend is that there is a very strong demand which is going to come up over the next 5 years. All the new factories, warehouses which are getting built up, okay, they are all moving from standard sheets to PUF panels, okay, because it provides better insulation application. So it is not very expensive compared to standard sheets. All the developers who are building factories or who are building warehouses, they do prefer PUF panels now. So size may look smaller today for the industry, but in next 3-4 years, it can actually double, triple from here.
So basically, you're expecting a shift in the market from steel roofing sheets to probably PUF panel.
Yeah.
Okay. And the margins, would it be similar or would it be slightly higher in top finance?
As of now, we do expect like 5%-8% margins.
Okay. Okay. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Vikas Mistry from Moonshot Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anubhav. A couple of questions here. So in solar structures, we have roughly 50-60 gigawatts of installation of solar is happening. And from that perspective, our market TAM should be pretty high. And our capacity is 150K. So are we ready for further expansion as this supply-side scenarios normalize? And how much we are targeting for the next couple of years?
So definitely, Vikas. See, I mean, this 150,000-ton capacity which we built, it took us like what, 6 to 8 months, okay, to build this capacity and operationalize it. So once we hit like 10,000 ton per month for 4-5 months, then we will order more capacity. And that since we already have space, right, at our service centers, so it's the only lead time is the plant and machinery, which is like 3 to 4 months procedure.
But in service center business, we see that land acquisition is delaying some of the service centers. So can't we be preparing slightly ahead of the schedule for the lead time?
Now we are, no, in terms of renewable capacity.
Yeah.
Like I said, we already have land, right? Infrastructure is already there. So ordering machines and installing machines is only 3 to 4 months procedure.
Okay, fine, fine, got it. So my last question is on tech side. So we have good relationship with B2B customers, but what is the progress on tech where we can tackle smaller MSME and such that we can also take that part of the pie that other platforms are enjoying, like Infomart and O-Business?
For which business? B2B?
Yeah, so let me rephrase the question. So we have good market share, at least on terms of B2B side, because we are tackling large customers. But at least on smaller SME side, where other platforms like JSW Neo or Business and Infomart has slightly better market share. So what is our strategy in order to tackle that? And what is the technological progress in terms of application building, in terms of retention of newer smaller SME clients?
So see, right now, I mean, B2B business is a bit soft because of shortage of steel. Okay. I mean, once the steel supply streamlines, once the steel supply streamlines, then we will become more aggressive in terms of reaching out to small MSME customers. Right now, whatever supply we get, it gets absorbed within our larger customers.
Yeah, totally buying your point, but for that, whatever the tech intervention we need to push in, so that has to be done today itself.
Yep, so we do have everything on our SAP systems, right? We do have visibility of what our customers buy from us, what SKUs they buy. So we try to rationalize all the inventory back end. But honestly, I mean, since till the time we have confidence on the steel supply and availability, we don't want to invest too much into tech stack, because again, that's like 3 to 4 months process. Whenever we want to push for it, we can do it.
Okay. So I was coming from the fact that we are building SAP, that is from the perspective of our side. Are we solving smaller SME customers' problem from their perspective, from their vantage point, to give them better services like other platforms are doing?
No, currently, like I said, because of shortage of steel, I mean, you can't, there is no material. How can you service?
Sure.
Like, tech requires material to move from my godown to my customer's godown. If I don't have steel, what will tech do?
That's totally understood, but I think recently building smaller clients take its own time, and if some ex client is already doing business with another platform, why would they switch to you in a just short span of 2-3 months? So that is the point I'm trying to make.
Also, because now our focus is on more value-added business verticals, okay, which are service centers and renewable structures and these new set of profiles what we have launched. Okay, so since B2B business is more of like higher revenue generation and low profit margin, so as a company, the strategy is to focus more on value-added products.
Okay, and that's all from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Darshil.
Hello. Can you hear me? Yeah. Good evening. Thank you so much for taking my question. Firstly, congratulations on a great set of results, sir. So just wanted to harp a bit about margins. So we've delivered quite good margins in Q4, but due to the war, do we see like a temporary dip in Q1? How do we see the margin profile right now? Because some of our segments will get impacted because of the war. So how do we see that, sir?
So see, margins, if you look at the EBITDA per ton for all the verticals, it will mirror what we did in quarter four. We don't see any deterioration in EBITDA spread in quarter one.
Okay, so we don't see any kind of deterioration here. And so just wanted to know, like we have given like in the PPT, you mentioned business growth visibility of like 50% CAGR over the next 3 years. So that's going to be linear, right? Like every year we can expect kind of this level of growth, or how do you see that, sir? Like will it be back-ended, or how would the growth be here, sir?
I think it wouldn't be back-ended. You will see performance getting better and better every quarter, okay, from here on.
Okay, so basically every quarter and quarter we'll have some level of growth. Because I was asking that in terms of revenue, FY26 has been kind of flattish to FY25, right? So just wanted to ask with regards to that, right? So FY27, we can see a much higher level of growth.
So revenue was flat, right? But EBITDA grew by 30% plus. Okay, because in FY25, more volume came from B2B business. In FY26, we scaled down B2B business and focused more on value-added verticals. Again, I'm naming those three verticals: service centers, renewable structures, and steel profile business. Okay. So even if there is no 50% growth in revenue, my EBITDA can still grow more than 50%, because whatever new business vertical I'm adding, it is more profitable.
Oh, fair enough. So overall, we should see 50% growth in terms more of like bottom line rather than top line, right? Because that would be the main point.
I mean, this is
what
we have lost in 3 years of our existence, that we need to focus heavily on bottom line. We just don't want to do businesses for revenue generation.
Fair. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unifi AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Abhinav, I wanted to understand that is there any, inventory loss or gain in the EBITDA number that you've reported for the quarter?
I did mention that there was inventory gain of 6 crore rupees in quarter 4 FY26.
Understood. And for full year 26, the margins that we had, because steel prices have gone through a challenging year, how much has been, in the total EBITDA that you've reported of about 137 crores, how much has been the variation due to inventory? Could you just give that number for 26?
So in first half, there was no, not much swings in steel prices. In quarter three, there was inventory loss of around 15-20 crores, if I remember correctly. And in in quarter four, there is a gain of 6 crore rupees. So I guess the full year EBITDA could have been more than 150 crore if we adjust the steel price swings.
Understood. And just so that I understand your business model, you're in the upswings or downswings in steel prices that may happen could happen because of the lead and lag that is there, you know, as products come in and go out. And barring that, you all are not intending to take any inventory risk on books. Is that broadly correct?
That is right. Just to add to it, that as our EBITDA spreads will improve because of more value-added products, so that impact will also keep on reducing. Aejas. Okay?
Understood.
Now, when I'm doing 60, 70, 80, 90 crore of quarterly EBITDA, which is coming from more value-added products, so then that hit will also, the impact will also keep on diminishing.
Understood. And broadly, Abhinav, you, I recall many calls back, you had broadly given a broad range of EBITDA margins across each of these. So just, could you give a, again, a broad understanding? So service centers earn between 3%-5% EBITDA. I think the trading business was 1%-2%. Is that understanding correct? And can you call
Yes,
that out for renewable and profiling?
Sure. So see, I mean, let us decode them into EBITDA per ton basis rather than percentage margin basis. So B2B business is between 700-1,000 rupees per ton, depending on the steel environment, the steel price environment in the country at that point of time. B2B business is pretty stable from 1,800-2,100 rupees per ton. The renewable structure business is around 3,000-5,000 rupees per ton, and the steel profile is 5,000-8,000 rupees per ton.
Understood. Okay. And is it fair to assume that the volume that you have done of broadly 400K tons in metal trading was also because you had the offtake agreements with your suppliers, and the entire intent even next year would be to again maybe keep this volume or probably reduce it? I don't know how you determine that. But the entire thing is to build the profiling products business, renewable structures business more and more, right? So effectively trading is just an, is it done with a very opportunistic sort of lens, or is it just like because you need to pick up a certain, raw material that you have committed to your supplier, that is how you construct the business heuristic?
So see, trading for SG Mart can be infinite. Okay, so as much steel we get, we can sell that much steel, earning 700-1,000 rupees per ton. We did get 410,000 ton of steel in FY26. If we get more steel in FY27, the trading, the B2B sales will be higher accordingly. But as of now, it is difficult to say because the month of April and the commitments for May so far are slow only. And it is also because even the steel mills, the volumes, the production levels are low because of overall crisis for energy, gas, etc.
Understood. And finally, just my last question is, Anubhav, even JSW, for example, is creating a platform. Of course, the broad contours of where they may concentrate would be different to yours. So how would you comment about this? Because, you're buying from JSW and then creating this entire value-added piece. Now, JSW themselves is doing something akin. So how would you comment on this?
Well, now the products are very different ages, okay, what we are doing in SG Mart and what other platforms are doing, the businesses are very, very separate, different now.
Okay, fine. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Serene Alpha. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My question is on our bottom line. Since last many quarters, we are speaking about EBITDA and PAT will go hand in hand. But I'm not seeing that in numbers, right? We did around 137 CR EBITDA this year, which is more than 30% growth. But if you look at the bottom line, it is hardly 10%, 10-11% kind of growth we are delivering. So why this is not happening, sir?
So see, I mean, if you look at the conversion of net profit from EBITDA, there are two factors, okay, which are impacting the PAT growth. One is the depreciation, and the second is the interest cost. So over the last 1 year, what we have done is that we have started investing heavily into creation of network of new service centers, plus we are also going heavily on building capacities for renewable structures and steel and other steel profiles, right? So it does require investment into fixed gross block. That's why the depreciation levels are high, and all the cash flow what we are generating internally, that is also being used for these CAPEX commitments. So that's why the EBITDA growth is not matching PAT growth. When we had mentioned this, that time the business was more asset light. Okay, it was dependent more on trading. Like I said, trading business, we realized that it is not throwing too much value addition. The dependency on steel availability is pretty high. Okay, then the steel price fluctuation also hurts the earnings. So, I mean, over the last 1 year, the whole business model has moved towards more value addition. And as we are investing into building that value-added business, there will be higher depreciation cost upfront. And all the internal cash flow generation will be used to meet the CAPEX commitment.
What I can also tell you
is that the benefits from this, okay, are going to be significant, right? Like you have already seen that how service centers are operating beautifully, the stability these service centers have brought for SG Mart, plus the renewable structure business. Again, the massive pie, right? Not too much of competitive space, and this unique vertical which we are building up other steel profiles. Okay, getting into highly fragmented market, and leveraging on our brand and distribution network. It's going to give a massive fruits. Okay, to the company. So we are not too much worried about that my PAT growth is not matching my EBITDA growth. It will start happening in a month, in a year or so. We are not bothered too much.
So that means you are still like for next 2 years also we are doing the CAPEX. So is it correct to understand that the EBITDA growth will still be higher than the PAT growth, right? Because of the elevated depreciation will keep on coming in the PL statement, right?
Yeah, so I think the better way to look is the cash profit, right? Because depreciation will remain high. So if you look at the cash profit growth and EBITDA growth, that should not be too much difference.
Okay. And the 50 crore EBITDA profit, the quarterly EBITDA profit, that we are comfortably, like we will be doing it despite all the headwinds we are speaking about.
That's right.
Thank you, sir, and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Amit, a retail investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is on Q4 performance, which basically EBITDA per ton for different businesses. So, would you be able to share what was the per ton EBITDA that you made in solar business, profile business, and this service center business.
We will give you the broad range, right? The B2B business is 700 to 1000 rupees per ton. The service center business is 1700 to 2000 rupees per ton. The solar business is 3000 to 5000 rupees per ton. And the profile business is 5000 to 8000 rupees per ton.
And is this expected to remain in this range in the current year, which is FY27?
That is right.
So this is it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Enam Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, Amar. My question was regarding the service center business. So you said we have already procured land for certain service centers. So can you just elaborate on which, apart from the seven which we have, where else have we procured land? Hello.
Yeah, so Ahmedabad, Indore, Kolkata, these are the three cities where we have acquired the land.
Okay. But so Ahmedabad and Indore will be just shifting the from the rented premises to the new premises, and in Kolkata is the one which will be adding this bigger.
Yes, and then we are actively scouting in Hyderabad, Chennai, in Punjab. So yes, maybe. In next 2-3 months, you will see more land acquisition coming in our books by then.
Okay. And regarding the profiles business, so what's the current capacity that we have? Because we're doing the numbers combined right now with renewables. So individually, could share the profiles business capacity.
Around 120,000 ton per annum.
Okay, 10,000 tons. Perfect. Okay. And in the service center volume for FY26 of 6 lakh tons, what's the stock and sale volume approximately?
It's around 20%, 20-25%. 75% is cut to length.
Okay, got it. And in terms of, you know, this coated steel availability for renewables, how do you see the situation evolving? When do you see the thing normalizing?
I think in month of May it should be better. Then June it will further improve. So April was better than March. Okay, and we have entered in month of May. Things look better compared to April.
Okay. So this run rate of 5,000-6,000 tons per month, that can be maintained with whatever commitments we are getting.
That is right, Kunal.
Okay. Great. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Bakaria Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. In this strategic plan of, you know, 50% growth over the next 3 years, can you help us understand the split of the businesses, you know, of this among the various segments? Let's say at the end of 3 years.
Can you please repeat?
I was saying you have given this target of 50% business growth over next 3 years, right? So if we have to think of the various segments at the end of 3 years, can you help us understand the split between the various segments? What, how much would be the service center? How much would be renewables? You know?
Sure. So in 3 years, I mean, we may have around 20 service centers, okay, and each service center doing 8 to 10,000 ton monthly volume. So around 2 million ton of volume is coming from service centers, okay, on annualized basis. Then for solar business, renewable structure business, in 3 years, we should be doing around 250,000 ton, 20. So around 300,000 ton of annual volume from renewable structures, and similarly 300,000 ton of volume from the other steel profile structures. B2B is difficult to predict. Okay, I mean, it can be like 1 million ton, 2 million ton, 3 million ton. Tough to give guidance on B2B business.
Okay. Because, okay. Fair enough. In terms of shortage of steel also, I think you mentioned earlier. What is the current status in terms of supply? Is it still constrained or what is the discussion happening with the suppliers now?
Yes, see, I mean, there is overall shortage of steel as a commodity in the country. Things will improve as the gas supply to steel mills improves. I mean, everyone says that in a month or so things will get better. We also hope that things will get better in a month or so. See, I mean, it's so unpredictable, no? I mean, war goes on for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. I mean, unless until the fuel supply becomes streamlined, it will remain a challenge, no?
Okay. Just to you know clarify, service center business, which was I think 600,000-odd tons, you're saying that in next three years it will go 3x to 2 million tons. Am I correct in assuming that?
What I'm saying is the exit run rate will be that after three years. If
Okay.
For the full.
Okay. Understood. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Krunal Shah from ENAM Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. One just broad level question on capital allocation. We are doing around 200-250 crore kind of cash flow from operation, and which seems to be sufficient enough to, you know, to fund the CapEx that we have planned of around 300 crore for next two years. We have around 1,000 crore cash on books. Broadly, what's the plan with this cash that we have?
Krunal, right, the cash on books is 750 crores, not 1,000 crores. That is point number one. Now, like whatever cash flow generation will be there, okay, for next two, three years, we're gonna deploy that in capacity building. Plus the existing cash on books might get utilized for incremental working capital requirement as well as the business scales up pretty quickly. I guess maybe after two years, when majority of the CapEx is completed, right? Then we have a strong pile up of cash on the books. Okay?
Right.
We can think of dividend, et cetera. For next two years, we want to focus on growth and focus on capacity building.
Got it. Also one thought which we had was that, you know, in terms of inorganic, are service centers or kind of, the profiling and renewable business available in an inorganic manner which could help us grow faster?
I mean, we keep on evaluating such assets, okay? The quality of such assets also should match SG Mart profile. Okay?
Right.
We haven't come across any such asset where we can go and actually finish the transaction. I mean, we are evaluating the day in, day out, but nothing where we could have said, "Okay, yes, I want to acquire this asset.
Got it. I think by quality would mean the kind of equipment they deployed or kind of business they are doing. That's it?
That's right.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will be the last question. I'll now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
I guess, I mean, just to reply to that earlier question regarding Dubai operations from the gentleman. I think there is some calculation error what he's doing. I mean, as per our calculation, there is no increase in net block at Dubai level, and similarly, there is no deterioration in the gross margin. But still, if that gentleman has, further question, he can reach out to our team. We have given contact details of our CFO and general manager strategy in the presentation. He can reach out to them. Thanks so much, everyone. Look forward to see you again in our quarter one FY27 earnings call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Ambit Capital Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.